Heavenly Father, may your light divine shine ever in our hearts, overwhelming us and filling us with the joy of your salvation. Guide us ever onward by your divine light, dear Lord, that all we think and do may be pleasing in your sight, now and forevermore. Amen. Instinctively, all people know that there is a God. His creation bears witness to him. Whether we look at the vast expanse of the galaxies or the complexities of the human mind or even the ruling nature of mathematics in all things, we see the fingerprints of God. He is there. He has created. And only the fool says in his heart, there is no God. But what also bears witness to his existence for all people is that little voice inside of us called a conscience. Oh, yeah, that whispering voice that says, oh, there's a God. And he sees everything. And he's going to hold us to account for everything. Ooh. There is a God. And so we are posed with some very important questions as he lets his presence be known. Who is this God? Is he as angry with us as our conscience would have us believe? Is there any way of even knowing, or is it just everybody's kind of guesswork? Some people say, he's whatever you want him to be. Whatever your imagination conjures them up to be. How silly. Are you just what anyone might think you are or imagine that you ought to be? If that doesn't hold true for you and me, how much less does it hold true for the Lord of heaven and earth that he's just whatever our imaginations conjure him up to be? Other people will say, it really doesn't matter. He doesn't matter. His opinion doesn't matter. I wonder how that'll hold on Judgment Day, whether they'll be singing the same song. We have a problem. Deep in our heart of hearts, we know there's a God, a holy God. And we know we're sinful human beings, and the two don't mix. We have a problem. How are we ever to know God? He's beyond our grasp, beyond our mind, beyond our searching. In our darkness of sin, it's easy for us to wander off and make our own idols, to bow down to our totem poles or to kiss our Buddhas or to even place an altar in the middle of our lives and put ourselves on it. We become our own gods. Ooh, doesn't that feel good? In the darkness of our sins, we'd rather hold on to lies for comfort rather than not know anything at all. But those lies won't protect us come Judgment Day. So we're back again. Who is this God? How can we know? We cannot ascend to the highest of heights. And so what God has done, he has come to the lowest of depths. He has come to this world to reveal himself, to give us a holy epiphany, to let his light shine in our darkness that we truly might know what is hidden, him, and that he might be revealed and plain to us. God performs this miracle, not through our imagination, but through his holy word, that his light might shine in the dark recesses of our soul and mind and being, and that we might be illumined by his grace. And he actually sends out humans to prepare the way for all of us to meet our God. But what is this message? What is this message that brings such light and salvation that his messengers go ahead and prepare the way with? The message that changes everything is that, look, God's Son is God's sacrifice. Wow. We never would have dreamed that in a million years. Have you ever had days where random events seem like they all fall into place so neatly that it's almost like someone's behind the scenes orchestrating all of this? You have a pain in your side. And all of a sudden you meet a brand new friend who has a pain in their side and is doctoring for it. And you go home and on the television there's a whole show about a pain in your side. And then you come to church and you hear a sermon about how coincidences aren't always necessarily coincidences. And you start wondering, Lord, have you arranged all this to urge me by them to get to see a doctor? Are you working behind the scenes to have that light go off in my head? Oh, I should really do something about this, don't you know? Well, God orchestrated a God moment like that for Andrew. From Andrew's perspective, it might have seemed like so much happenstance, but it wasn't. Such a series of things happening in a row that compelled and pushed Andrew into visiting with his Lord. First, John the Baptist comes on the scene, and he's so filled with the Spirit, all of Jerusalem is going out to him, even though he never performed a miracle. And as John is out there, here comes Jesus himself to be baptized. After Jesus baptized, the Holy Spirit comes down as a dove. They hear God the Father speaking from his throne on high, "This is my Son whom I love." Then the next day, Jesus just happens to be walking by, and John says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The next day, Jesus just happens to be walking by, and John says, "Look, the Lamb of God." How many times do we have to do this, Andrew, before you get the point, okay? Okay, all of a sudden the light starts going on. I think I'll follow that guy. John and everything else seems to be pointing toward him. I don't know what I'm really going to do, but I'll just kind of follow a trail behind him. And all of a sudden, none other than Jesus himself says, come on, see where I stay. Let's sit down and have a conversation. Coincidence? No. God was orchestrating all of that to bring Andrew to have this holy conversation with his Savior, so that the light of salvation might go off in his mind and heart and soul, that he truly might understand what it means that Jesus is God's Son and is God's sacrifice. Everything revolves around that. The greatest epiphany or awakening that any human being can have throughout all of time is this realization that Jesus is God's Son and is God's sacrifice. God is the one who makes this light shine in the darkness of our hearts. And oh, how he uses humans to do it. John pointed Andrew to Jesus. Jesus invited him in, and they sat down and talked. Doesn't record what they talked about, but I bet you it wasn't the stock market. They didn't discover the latest football or discuss the latest football game. Why, I bet you they didn't even discuss the Roman government and the armies and what they're doing to harass the Jews. Jesus has something much more on his agenda. To lay before him the wonders of God, and in doing that, to create faith in his heart that he might believe and embrace and through this glorious gospel be saved. Jesus probably laid out before him, "You see me, Andrew. I'm as human as you are, sitting across the table. What you might not see, Andrew, but you desperately need to believe is that I am true God. I am that one who is prophesied. God come down in human flesh to take on the sins of the world." What did John the Baptist mean when he said, "Look, the Lamb of God"? Lamb of God? Oh, Andrew full well knew that for century after century, Humans were bringing their lambs to the temple and to the tabernacle to be sacrificed for their sins, their carcasses thrown up on the fire, all to remind them of that holy work the Messiah would do. He would give his life that there might be peace. And now comes Jesus, not man's sacrifice, but God's Lamb of sacrifice. You see, because we are sinful human beings. And so by nature, we are repulsive to the Almighty God. There are sins, and somebody's going to pay for those sins. And God brings his Son along, just as they for so many years had brought their lambs along and say, "Here, I offer my Son in sacrifice for your sins, so that there might be peace between us, that you might be washed clean, purified, made holy, made my holy children." Jesus, God's Son, is God's sacrifice. God so loved his Son, and yet he placed him there to die for our sins, which speaks volumes as to the love the Lord has for us. How much does God love us? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And so we are truly loved. That's what this light reveals to us. God uses humans to bring us to the table with Jesus. Have you ever stopped to chart all the humans that God has used in your life to bring you to him? Maybe it's mother and father, grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts and friends and neighbors, to bring you to a conversation with Jesus, to reveal what he has said. Have they brought you to baptism, carried you to Sunday school, sat with you in church services your whole life long? Have they opened up scripture and answered your questions, or helped you with life's problems by the light that beams from Holy Scripture? Have they nurtured you and prayed for you and time again pointed you back to the Lamb of God? Oh, thank God for those his hands, his feet, those people he has used with hearts and voices to sing the praises of God. What an integral part they have played in your life. God has revealed himself to us. He has turned on that epiphany light so that we too can confess with Andrew, Jesus is God's Son and God's sacrifice. It's interesting that John records Andrew's reaction after he has a sit-down meeting with Jesus. What's the very first thing he does? Go out to get a burger because he's so hungry and it's been so long? No. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is Christ." You know, you can almost hear the excitement in those words, can't you? I doubt that he said that with the monotone. "Oh yeah, we found the Messiah, you know, Christ." He is so touched and overwhelmed by this beautiful epiphany light of salvation. All these years of promise are fulfilled, and I sat across a table from God's anointed one. "Come, Simon, see what I saw. Hear what I..." And notice how God was using Andrew to bring Peter to Christ, that he might sit across the table and hear his Savior's voice and have that epiphany light shine brilliantly in the fabric of his heart. Well, so the Lord has work for us to do. We are like Andrew, not only in our confession, but in our whole reason for living, that we might reach out to all the Simeons and all the Simons and everyone else around us, all of our friends and relatives who, yep, are in darkness, kissing Buddhas, bowing down to themselves. If I were to give you a line to fill in, who in your life does not know Christ and is still lost in the dungeon of their sins, what name would you put on the line? Is that not your mission field? Yes, we are joined together collectively as a church body and as a synod to reach out with that glorious gospel to the four corners of the world and the four corners of Antioch. Oh, God bless us in that ministry. But God has also given you and me each an individual ministry to bloom right where we're planted, to let that light that He has given in us radiate out from us, to share that with everyone around us, that they too might come and meet their Savior, the Messiah, God's one and only Son, God's one and only sacrifice. And so who would you call? Who would you invite? Who would you tell this mystery to that doesn't know it yet? He reaches out for us. Thanks to the Lord, we're not children of Osama bin Laden or Stalin or the Dalai Lama. If we were, we would be making our own religion and our own path of salvation. He has spared us from that darkness. But there are many other people who are children of Osama bin Laden or Stalin or the Dalai Lama. If not biological children, spiritual children who are still overwhelmed and overcome by those lies and groping in the darkness and condemned to hell. And now God calls for us to go out and share that light that has been brought to us. Share it. And if we don't share it, boy, the darkness of sin grows so much darker. If we're not going to proclaim our Savior's wonders, who is? He has called us to love all those lost souls as He loves them, and to spend ourselves that His glorious gospel might resound throughout the world. These are the end times. The artificial light of this world will soon be snuffed out. The only light that will endure is that light of the gospel. Oh, that we might spend our brief moments here on the world proclaiming that light, shining that light, letting it be our reason for living. Let your light shine, that faith in Jesus as God's Son and as God's sacrifice. Let that light shine into the utter darkness, that more and more may come and praise His holy name and join us in the mansions of heaven. That's our reason for living for another day. May God bless it in every way. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, our times are in Your hands. You have brought us from darkness to light, from being children of the devil to being children of God. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that You have done all this that we might be Yours. So now use us. Use us with the time left, dear Lord, that we might sing Your holy praise and share Your glorious good news, now and forever, in Jesus our Savior. Amen.